Good evening, folks. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. And our special guest tonight is an old friend of the show. He's been on before, but a wee while. We've got Joe Dale. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, John. A pleasure to be on again. I think this is my fourth time now, something like that. But it's always lovely to be on Edutalk.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And if folk are on Twitter in the educational sphere, they'll probably know who you are, Joe. But maybe you could just start off by giving us a bit of background about where you've been, what you've done, and what you do currently.
Okay, no problem. Well, I was a languages teacher. I taught French for 13 years, at secondary level for 3 years, in North Wales for 2 years, and Somerset Yeovil for 1 year. And then I taught for 10 years at a middle school, 9 to 13-year-olds, on the Isle of Wight, which is where I still live, which is where I am right now, surprisingly. And I got into technology, how technology could enhance language learning, about 2001, 2002. Started getting into how to use things like hot potatoes, and went on to PowerPoint, how PowerPoint could be used in an interesting way. And then about 2005, I started speaking at conferences. Then met Ewan McIntosh and people like Mark Pentland and yourself. Got into podcasting and blogging. Started my blog 2006, and then in 2009, I decided I was going to go freelance and do what I was doing part-time, but full-time. And that's now led me to go around the world a few times. I've been to Australia 4 times every year for the last 4 years. I've been to South America, Southeast Asia. I've been to about 6 times to Bangkok and 3 times to Kuala Lumpur and what have you. I've also spoken at conferences in North America. I've done training in Canada. So I've taken, I suppose, what was a hobby and turned it into a second career. And I'm still very much involved with language teachers, but I'm trying to broaden the types of people that I work with as well. The bread and butter of what I do is I run training on the use of technology to enhance language learning with language teachers, but I'm also doing a lot more cross-curricular work. And in the last couple of years, I've been particularly interested in iPads, because that's where the business has been, essentially. Although I'm also developing in areas such as Chromebooks, as well as bring your own device and that sort of area. So I'm very, very interested and always looking for different ways in which we can use new technologies to enhance language learning.
Brilliant. But as a very sort of exciting and diverse life. And I've followed your career since about 2005, Joe. We probably bumped into each other, both in the real world and online. And hot potatoes. Well, a blast from the past. I haven't seen that for a long time. And one of the things you're really famous for is the sort of MFL Twitterati, the sort of Twitter conversation that's curated around modern foreign languages. But really be interested to talk tonight about iOS apps, and maybe in particular podcasting apps, because I remember a few years ago you were starting to get into that, and I had an odd conversation back and forth with you. And more recently I met up with you when you were in Glasgow. We just went out for some dinner, and I sort of thought I was keeping half an eye on the iOS audio world, and how wrong I was. And since then, there's been quite a few things you've pointed me to that have been really interesting. So, kind of over to you, Joe, if you want to start, maybe talking about one or two things, and we'll see how it goes.
Fantastic. Excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed meeting you for supper at AdLib in Glasgow. Anyone that lives in Glasgow will know AdLib, no doubt, and it was a fantastic... it's one of my favourite haunts, actually, when I go to Glasgow. But anyway, yeah. So, where do we start with audio apps? I mean, my favourite audio app at the moment is an app called Boss Jock Junior, which has been around since August of last year, and is the free version, I suppose, of the app Boss Jock Studio, which is about £7, £8, something like that, or about $10. And I really like Boss Jock Studio as well, but I like the way that Boss Jock Junior has been adapted to be appropriate, let's say, for people who are more new to audio, and definitely for people who want to use it in the classroom. So what it is, it allows you to import audio or record audio in different carts. You have 20 carts in the iPad version, and you have 6 or 8 carts in the iPhone version. So what you can do is, for each of the carts, you can record audio, or you can import audio from other places, such as, let's say, Google Drive or other apps, which I'm going to talk more about later, maybe Voice Record Pro or Ferrite Recording Studio, that sort of thing. And you can load up all the different carts with different audio tracks, and those could be spoken audio tracks, or they could be music. When I first got into Bostrop Junior, and I started tweeting about it during the Sydney Folk Festival, actually in Devon, in July of last year, and it was awfully exciting because there was a guy called Andre Louis, who's also known as Freaky Foo, which is FreakyFoo, Freaky Foo on Twitter, and he got in contact with me because I was saying, oh, Bostrop Junior is fantastic, Bostrop Junior is amazing. And he gave me a link to a Dropbox full of rights-free audio tracks that you could use, music tracks that he had personally created. So as part of Bostrop Junior, you get access to a number of different free tracks, but some of which he's created himself. And then he sent me this link. So that was amazing, because a lot of the issues, if you're talking about podcasting in the classroom or in general, is getting access to tracks which could be referred to as pod safe, in other words, which are royalty-free tracks that legally you're allowed to use. And so having access to literally hundreds of tracks was amazing. And so I went through all the different tracks he'd sent me, and I chose the ones I particularly liked and loaded them up into Bostrop Junior. And then I started playing around, as you do with these things, as I know you do as well, John, demoing different examples of what you could do with the app. So the reason I got it so excited about this from a languages point of view was because I thought that it would be a great way of creating open-ended audio tasks for promoting listening and speaking skills, which is something which is sort of bread and butter to the languages classroom, but particularly maybe for gifted and talented students, or students that want to think out of the box or be a bit creative. They can put together and layer different audio sounds using the app very, very easily, and produce them, which sounds very professional. One thing I really like about the app, which is something which you get with the Mac version of GarageBand as well, is when you put your finger on the microphone, which is a push-to-talk microphone. In other words, it will only record when you hold your finger down on the microphone, or you can lock it as well. But anyway, what it does is it ducks the music, so the music goes quieter automatically when you're recording your voice, and then when you take your finger off the microphone, the music becomes louder. And that's a really nice way of creating what sounds very professional. And if you wanted to take that to more of an extreme, you could make your own radio show. But I'm not suggesting necessarily that you'd have time to do that in a languages classroom, but to the children that wanted to do that at home would be able to do that. But if you wanted to do things like record dialogues, maybe questions and answers at when they do their exams at 16, so like for GCSEs that we have in England, you could, as a teacher, you could create all the different questions, load them up to, say, Google Drive, and then get the children to import them into Bostrop Junior, record all their answers based on the questions that the teacher has shared with you, and then export the whole thing as one file back to, say, Google Drive or Google Classroom or Office 365, obviously, or Edmodo or Shobi or these other learning management systems. You could also do some lovely storytelling using the app. You could do some grammar podcasts if you wanted to. Back in 2007, I made some of those when I was still in the classroom. You can still check them out at nodehillfrench.podomatic.com, I think they're still there. You could create language jingles. You could create sound effects if you wanted. If you wanted to use the app for doing a game show, maybe you could make up personalized sound effects for your game show. You could do grammar quizzes, you could create your own radio show, etc., etc. So that's the app which I really like at the moment, and I've been tweeting about it a lot and doing different examples and doing sessions on it at various training events and conferences and that sort of thing. In fact, at the SALT conference, the Scottish Association of Language Teachers conference in November, I did a session all about Bostock Junior. Now you can't edit with it, so you have to like layer the audio tracks together. But if you wanted to edit, I'd use maybe Ferrite Recording Studio, which is another new app which I'll talk about in a minute, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, putting it all together, it's just a wonderful resource, and it's amazing that it's free, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I think about it, Joe, is that what I would call traditional podcasting is you'd record bits of audio in, say, Audacity, and then you would pull them together and slide them about and line them up and put in a soundtrack underneath it or in GarageBand and then export it as an MP3 file. But Bostock's more like it suggests, a sort of studio, because mm-hmm. what you're doing is playing various carts that you've got prepared and mixing in and putting your voice over them.
Exactly.
Almost like you're in a sort of radio studio, and I presume that's where the cart comes from, you know, the sort of the language, and you can see the meters for the different carts. So you could pre-record an interview with somebody, you could pre-record some music, and then introduce it with a live audio track, and then say, "All right, we're switching to this record," and then we'll bring in a wee bit of music here, or you could have music playing underneath. So it's kind of more immediate, a sort of thing than say working in GarageBand, where you can work away at things and repeat things and, you know, just edit away and slide stuff around until you get it lined up. You're actually doing that live, which I think is quite interesting, quite different from the way that we've thought about podcasting before.
Yeah, and you can still do those sorts of podcasts using, say, a more traditional multi-track editor, such as Ferrite Recording Studio. But what I like about Bostock is the way that, as you say, it's almost like sort of messy learning, in the sense that you can just, you know, create something quickly and easily. You wouldn't necessarily have the time to create an audio show that would take a long time to put together. What I like about it is you can create some audio quickly and then layer it together with other audio. And because of the way it's been set up on the app, the way it's been put together by, in fact, it's only a two-man team at Bostock in the States. So the main person is a guy called Dave Mansueto, and that's Mansueto. And he's one of the co-founders of Libsyn, and he's a big audio fan, mm-hmm. and he's deliberately created it so that he's trying to make it as simple as possible. So things like, if you double tap on one of the carts when another cart is playing, it will very nicely make a lovely transition from one to the other by fading out the first one and then going straight into the second one. Or if you tap on one of them while it's playing, it will sort of gently fade out. So, and then with the ducking and everything, as I've talked about already, I just think it's a lovely way to produce something which sounds really good, but doesn't actually require hardly any technical expertise at all. And then, you've got the level meter on the right-hand side, so you can adjust the volume of the cart while it's playing live. But if you made a mistake, I suppose you'd have to re-record it. Or if you wanted to record all your live bits, as it were, as pre-recorded carts, you could do that as well. But I like that idea that you've got everything set up and then you just do a bit of a live vocal over the top. But if you want to do everything as a pre-recorded cart, you could do that as well. So I just think it's great. But I think what's nice about it as well is this idea of being able to maybe do sort of field recordings, you know, not be stuck in the classroom necessarily, being able to go out and record different audio files in each cart, or maybe recording something from home and then uploading it to Google Drive and then importing it in, that sort of thing. I love the way that you can pull different things together. So you could use it to produce something which sounds amazing as an adult, put together like a more complex radio show if you wanted to. But in the classroom, you could produce something which sounds fantastic, I think, with hardly any, you know, real expertise. I think the children would really run with it and produce something really good at primary or at secondary level. That's why I'm so excited about it.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, I've used the, not the junior one, but the pay for one a few times, and it, I mean, it really is a very interesting sort of class of app if you like, if you like audio. And we maybe mentioned that all the sort of myriad of ideas that you just ran through for audio apps, we could do those with lots of different things. Those are just a great set. So I hope you're listening, folks. There's a great set of ideas for different audio things. And maybe if we talk about different apps, people will be able to see it. You can do these things in different ways, and the results are, I guess, the production and the learning that goes around it.
Well, maybe if I talk a little bit about the Ferrite Recording Studio One. So that's, that again has only been has only sort of come up on my radar in the last few months or so. It was reading Fraser Spear's amazing blog when he mentioned it, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So whenever there's a new audio app, and there seems to be, particularly at the moment actually, it seems to be a sort of spate of audio apps coming out to explore. But anyway, so I had a quick look at it, and with the free version, you can do a lot. You can have up to three tracks in the multi-track editor, which I think, again, in the classroom is fine. If you want to do something which required more more tracks, definitely Boss Rock Junior would be the way to go. But if you're looking at editing every single individual piece of audio, you could certainly use Ferrite Recording Studio. You can import audio in very nicely and export it out as a project, as I think it's probably M4A files. I don't think it's MP4. I might be wrong about that, but I think it's M4A files anyway. And it's just a really nice way of pulling the audio together. It's also got the ducking feature that it has in BossTrock Junior. Because apart from those two, I'm not aware of any other apps which allow you to duck the audio in that way. So that's been something you've been able to do on GarageBand for a while on the Mac, but certainly in iOS, you've not been able to do that. So that's a really nice feature. In fact, I mentioned Ferrite Recording Studio, BossTrock Junior, and Opinion, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, on the different AppShare Live shows that Mark Anderson has been leading in the last few months. And I've always liked to focus on audio apps because it tends to be what people don't necessarily focus on in these sorts of webinars. But I think it's nice to focus on audio apps because it's a bit of variety. It gives something different, and I think in the classroom it leads to so much potential with thinking skills and all the things I've talked about already, the sort of the dialogues, questions and answers, etc., and also learning to learn strategies. So you could talk about you could use audio as a type of feedback or reflecting on what you've done and what you need to do to move forward and that sort of thing. So Ferrite Recording Studio, I think, is really nice, and even with the free version, you can record up to, I think, an hour or something like that. So that's plenty for the classroom. Yeah, you wouldn't want to record more than that. But from the point of view of hosting audio, neither of those two options, BossJock or Ferrite Recording Studio, have a hosting solution. But the next app, which I was going to talk about, is called Opinion. Which is, again, very, very exciting. You can do some simple editing with Opinion. So the nice thing about it is you can record your audio up to, I think it's 10 minutes for the free version, which, again, is plenty, I think. And the editing is slightly different. It's that you actually edit the track vertically as opposed to horizontally. So when you edit, you play the track, and then there's essentially a dotted line that is running across the track. And when you stop the track, you tap on the scissors, which are at the end on the right-hand side of the dotted line, and that's what makes the cut, and it makes a nice, pleasant cutting sound as well, which is always nice. So you can carry on making your different cuts, and then what you can do, which again I've not seen in the same way in other apps, is you can change the order of the track just by holding your finger down on the three horizontal lines on the right-hand side, also known as a hot dog, I believe, or certainly in Google terminology, it's called a hot dog. Anyway, so you can put your finger on the hot dog and then move it to where you want it to go. So I've suggested in AppShare Live as well as in other places. For example, I've done a few YouTube clips on my YouTube channel, Joe Dale 100, on audio apps such as BossJock, Opinion, etc. And I was suggesting in the one about Opinion that you could use that for dialogue work. In other words, you could get the children to record a dialogue and then get one of them to reorder the dialogue, the different lines. And then the task for the second person would then be obviously to put it back in the correct order and then export the final result to the teacher to, say, Google Drive or Google Classroom or Office 365 or what have you. So that's really cool. But also with Opinion, I mean, you can just use it like that, just as an audio editor if you want to, but a really easy, simple audio editor. But you can also host it on the Opinion website. It gives you a certain amount of free space. And when you create your podcast, it will be your username and then madewithopinion.com, if I remember correctly. So I've done like a demo one, jodell.madewithopinion.com. And you can add your artwork, your logo, as it were, and you can record audio tracks, and then just publish them onto that, which is just amazing. And now, I know we both know Wes Fryer. Wes Fryer is also a huge audio fan, and I remember talking to him or mentioning to him about Opinion, which he hadn't heard about before. And his wife Shelley Fryer, who works in a school in Oklahoma, she's actually been publishing a podcast using Opinion, a bit like the Sunday podcast that you were doing back in 2005, and reflecting on, you know, what her children are doing on a regular basis, and publishing the results to the web, which I just think is absolutely awesome. With like a picture, you can have a picture for each episode if you want to. But I think what's changed compared to how we were first doing it, but, you know, 10 years ago, more than that now, is the whole process just so much simpler and easier, and getting, you know, free web space where you can host your podcast is not difficult now, and the whole process is just being slimlined and it is so much easier. So I think what you could do, which I've talked about in other YouTube videos, is you could do all your audio recording in, say, Ferret Recording Studio or Boshock Junior, upload it to Google Drive, and then import it using the locations feature in Opinion. What you have to do is you've got three icons basically on the top of the screen in Opinion. You've got the red record button on the left hand side, you've got this sort of the icon with musical notes or musical notes in the middle, and then you've got the export option on the right hand side, the rectangle, the arrow pointing up, also known as a sharrow. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
That's a new one. A sharrow.
Anyway, yeah, a sharrow. Yeah, so it's a portmanteau. Is that the right word between arrow and share? Anyway, a sharrow. Yeah. I picked that up from the guides from EdTech Teacher in the States. Anyway, but if you tap on the icon with the musical notes in the middle at the top, it'll say locations. You choose locations. You choose Google Drive, and then you can import the audio from Google Drive into Opinion, and then do some editing if you wanted to, or just upload it as a podcast to your Opinion podcast space. So I think out of those three, you could do a lot of interesting creative audio, but I think pretty much all of them are very, very straightforward and easy. And if you watch my tutorials on my YouTube channel, that would be a good starting point to see how these things get stuck, are used. And obviously, if you get stuck, that's why I said the word stuck. If you get stuck, you can always contact me via Twitter or email or what have you as well.
Yeah, and as usual, I have not shouted about this, but we'll put the link to your YouTube channel and your Twitter account, which is at Joe Dale, on the archive for this blog. And if people are listening live and you've got a question for Joe, if you tweet it to Joe or to use the hashtag at edutalk or hash edutalk, we'll try and pick it up and answer it. One of the things I've kind of been heartened by in iOS podcasting, because as soon as the device, you know, the iPhone and iPod Touch and iPads come out, I was interested in doing audio, was that they were really terrible at getting audio off the device easily and onto the internet. It used to be, if you were on a form on the web on your iPhone or whatever, or you have a blog, and a blog's the easiest way to make a podcast, you would click, you know, insert file, and it would give you a choice of anything in your photo library. Which I just must have railed against quite a lot. And what's really nice now is that depending on what sort of storage you've got on your phone, if you're in a web browser on your phone or your iPad and you click upload file, it will give you a choice of places to find stuff, including your iCloud drive, your Google Drive, OneDrive if you've got that installed. So all these places become somewhere you can dump audio and then export it to the web through the browser, which I think is really great.
Yeah, I think the document picker has been a game changer, really, with iOS 9. And particularly, I mean, another one of my favourite tools is Padlet, which I'm sure everyone's heard about. But I don't know if everyone knows that if you upload an MP3 file, or in fact any audio file for that matter, onto a note or a wish, I think they're officially called. Anyway, if you upload an audio file, it automatically is turned into its own player, which is really nice. So it means that if you wanted to create, let's say, a bank of audio whereby all the children were recording in an ICT suite or on mobile devices, what have you, and then all upload them onto the same Padlet wall, then each one would have its own player. And particularly, I think this, for language teachers, it's particularly cool in the sense that the icon that is that appears automatically on your note is a cassette, which is quite old school, which I quite like. Anyway, moving on. But if you tap on the note, then you can see that a digital audio player appears automatically. So you could easily get all the children to practice whatever they're doing, their conversations or dialogues or presentations. Put them all up onto Padlet, sharing them all in the same place, and then you could go to the cog icon on the right hand side as the teacher, go to layout and choose grid so that everything looks nice and neat, and then everyone would be able to listen to everyone else's audio, which I think is really awesome. And for a long time you couldn't do that easily on Padlet. In fact, I didn't know a way of doing that on an iPad on Padlet. On a desktop or on a Chromebook or what have you, it was easy. You could just create the audio, upload it, no problem. But now with the document picker, you can select one of the cloud storage services you just mentioned, find an MP3 file, put it into Padlet, and it will work. But it's still not as straightforward, I think, on an iPad, but at least it's now possible, whereas it just wasn't. I couldn't work out a way of adding audio. You could only add images or video, so you could, I suppose, put your finger over the camera so it was recording as if it was black as a video file, so you could only hear the audio, but that's, you know, that wasn't quite the same as having your own audio player. So I really like the way that with a document picker and Padlet now, you can now do that, even though it's not as straightforward compared to using other devices. But there you go.
Just because the video word came up there, and we're talking about audio, and we're also talking on a broadcast that will become a podcast. I don't know if you get any sort of opinions as to the usefulness of video and audio in the classroom.
I think they're both fantastic, but I think the benefit of audio compared to video is, one, it's quicker to create. You can... from the point of view of editing, you don't have so many issues about having to do take after take after take to make sure that it looks good from a video point of view. With audio, you can edit things out a lot easily without having, you know, if it was a video, it'd be sort of jumping from scene to scene, etc. Or it could be very stilted if you did too much editing. Whereas with audio, you can make it sound fantastic with less effort, I think. Just on that point, actually, I see that Ian Guest on Twitter has asked what I think about short form audio capture, which I suppose is the same, talking about the same idea of doing things quickly and easily. So things like, you know, Audio Boo and iPadio and things like that. I think that those types of apps are great, and I know Wes Fryer is a big fan of no editing audio, just, you know, recording things, capturing an idea and publishing it. I think there's a place for that, but I also think there's a place for more controlled editing, because I think certainly languages in particular, I think the recording and editing process, now I'm speaking from experience, having done a lot of work with Audacity on this in the classroom, that it helps to improve pronunciation of the children because they're hearing the same audio again and again and again. it's internalizing the concepts that they're talking about in speaking in the target language. So they're understanding the grammar. Maybe if they're making a grammar podcast, which is what I did in the past, they're understanding the terms used more easily. They're embedding them in their heads more easily. They're extending their speaking skills because they are practicing, and maybe they've done 2, 3, or 4 takes, and then the best one is normally, you know, after a few attempts, and they feel more confident, and then they go for it. But I think in general it gives them more confidence, and I think that no editing audio recording is okay, but I personally prefer giving the children the opportunity to edit, as long as they're not too much of a perfectionist. I think it's very important to give them a time limit, so that then, you know, you don't spend too much time editing, because that can be counterproductive. But at the same time, having some sort of editing is good. So I'm a fan of short form audio capture, Ian, but I'm also a fan of editing. And I suppose in a way with Boss Jock, it's between the two, because you can edit the carts if you wanted to, but actually putting together the show, it's pretty quick and easy once you've got all the carts set up, or you know the order in which you want to have them.
Ian is, of course, an audio boo. Hundreds of audio boos Ian's produced and contributes to EduTalk, and not necessarily in the classroom, although I think that there is something to be done with really short form, quick and dirty recording. But it seems to be a way for sharing ideas quickly. I think it's nice that Ian's probably sitting on the, you know, takes his time and plans out what he's saying. But when we started the whole EduTalk idea, David Noble and myself, it was the idea that at conferences people could basically phone in a report, and I quite like that idea. And it might have its place in the classroom for school trips, for instance, or, you know, going out and gathering evidence for something. It's a quick way of taking notes, and if you're on a school trip, you can audio boom, and it's almost live back to the classroom. And now there are a few live things, and just say hello to Caroline Brayley in the extreme north, who's having a wee listen, saying so many ideas you can't keep up. We'll try, Caroline, and create a wee list of links and apps and things from Joe, and have it in the show notes.
I mean, just going back to Audio Boom and iPadio, I'm personally a big fan of iPadio, because I like the way you don't have this whole network issue that with Audio Boom, you have this temptation to follow other people who are creating booms and this sort of thing. Whereas with iPadio, you can record audio very, very easily in the same sort of way, just by going for it, recording something in a messy way, as you sort of talked about. But you don't have this distraction of being able to follow other people and all this sort of thing, which I think is an issue in the classroom, certainly. But what I like about iPadio as well is there are lots of privacy options. So you can, if you want to, you can make it so that nobody can leave comments on your audio posts, that you can make all your audio recordings private. I really like that. And you can upload up to 100 megabytes per file, I think it is, or record for an hour of audio, that sort of thing. The only issue I found with iPadio is recently when you tried to create accounts, it's been a bit flaky. But I got in contact with the CEO, and I think that's been sorted out now. So I'm still a big fan of iPadio, and particularly for making audio QR codes, which maybe people haven't thought about in the past. So can I just get a wee
word in about iPadio, because it was one of the things that we could incorporate into EduTalk, and we're always trying to encourage people, and they broke it because they don't support RSS anymore. And they fixed it for us once, and later they broke it again, and as far as I know, they never sorted that out. So I'm for audio boom because it works, because it helps share. And I think certainly I know there's concerns about privacy, and maybe we can get into that later, but I think there's two sides to that. Yeah, I certainly want pupils to be listening to other people, not just broadcasting. And I think that goes, you know, for blogging as well. We're seeing quite a lot of schools blogging and things now, and they're almost tending towards the broadcast mode. And I think it's important to pay attention and listen to other people. Now, how you curate that for your learners is maybe another whole question. Yeah,
and I totally agree with the idea that it's great for the students to listen to each other's work and other students who've done similar work as well. I think that's fantastic, but I have a lot of concerns about the idea of them being able to follow anybody on, say, Audioboom, that sort of thing, or being tempted to find other content that may be inappropriate and all these sorts of things. And I know that teachers ask me these sorts of things all the time, and that's why, again, I like iPadia, because you have all these privacy options. And if I could just briefly talk about audio QR codes, if that's okay.
No, go for it. Yeah, I just had to get that in, George.
Yeah. We'll come back to that if that's okay. So with audio QR codes, I'm sure everyone knows about QR codes. If you don't, the quick response is what the QR stands for. And I came up with this idea: if you had a link that ended in .mp3 or any file extension for that matter, but with .mp3 with audio files, it works very nicely. So I was just trying to find an audio app or a service that allowed you to record audio for free, save it somewhere on the web, so that you could get a link that ended in .mp3. And finally, I was able to find iPadio that worked. It does work with Audioboom as well, but there's a workaround. What you have to do is you have to take the link from your Audioboom recording and add .mp3 on the end. And what happens when you do that is it turns the link into the direct download, and then you just have to copy that link and turn it into a QR code. But with iPadio, all you have to do is make your recording, upload it via the app, then go to the browser version of iPadio, log in, and that'll take you to your broadcast page, and then you just tap on the download icon, which looks like a monitor with an arrow pointing downwards, copy the link, and turn that into a QR code. And what that means is when the children scan that QR code, it will play the audio directly from iPadio in their browser automatically without having to press play. So obviously, if you take that QR code, you could put it, let's say, on wall displays, and you could have the children talking about the text that they've written or the pictures that they've put up there, or you could have a worksheet with the QR code at the top, which could be like listening comprehension in a language classroom context, so the children could listen to the audio file, which could be produced by the teacher or by a foreign language assistant if you're lucky enough to have one. I know there were lots in Glasgow, which is wonderful, but that certainly isn't the norm in other parts of the UK. There's lots of, you could use it for audio feedback as well. You could have an audio QR code in the Jotto, in the exercise book, that when you scan it, you can have feedback from the teacher about your work and that sort of thing. So I think audio QR codes are really cool and interesting, and you just have to make it as simple and quick as possible to make the recording, upload it, and then get the link and turn it into a QR code. So that's another big tip that I've been sharing with people for the last few years, making audio QR codes. That's one of the options that you have in your repertoire of using mobile devices.
So I guess the MP3 file could be anywhere you like. And if you get the QR code into a Jotter, if you were saying a way of giving feedback, a way of marking, for instance.
You could
use that. But how would you get if you're sending it, again, this would be, I'm presuming it's something you're sending home, perhaps, because I don't, that would be where I would see it, you mark a Jotter, you do a bit of recording. How do you get the QR code onto the Jotter?
Okay, so what I would do is I would use a website like QR Explore, which is free, so QR plus the word explore, QR Explore, which allows you to make bulk QR codes. I would copy all the URLs from iPadio, put them into the relevant column in QR Explore, generate all the QR codes, and then import them into, say, a Word document. So you've got lots of different QR codes in the same Word document, so you're saving paper. print those out, cut them up, and then stick them into the jotters. But I wouldn't do that on, you know, on a, for every homework. I'm just suggesting time to time, it might be nice to have an alternative to just written feedback. That's all.
Then you could stick them on. I mean, I would have thought a sort of open day in the classroom would be really excellent, because quite often there's a lot of parents moving around and not necessarily being talked to, and it gives them a chance of listening to something.
Absolutely, and you could. I know we're talking about audio here, but you could do the same thing with video. You could take a video clip, upload it to Google Drive, and then turn the sharing permissions to anyone with a link and can view, and then turn that link into a QR code, and then have, you know, you could have in the school brochure, when adults come in to see the school, prospective parents could scan the QR codes in a school brochure, or if, as you say, if you had an open evening, they could scan the wall displays and watch the children talking about the bit of work, or it could be an animation they've created using something like Yakit Kids or My Talking Avatar Free or Chatterpix Kid, those sorts of things, as another idea. But with audio, it's lovely, and I think it's lovely to hear the children's voices. I remember enjoying that very much when I was working with podcasting with the children at the middle school, and they always really used to enjoy it. Another, just off the top of my head, another app which is good for this sort of thing is a free app called CroakIt, which is CROAK.IT. Another way of making a quick recording nicely and easily, and then sharing the link via a QR code. That's another one out there, as it were, that you could use.
Just a wee shout out to, you may know this person, Joe, because I don't, somebody listening in from Argentina, Maria, and I'm probably going to massacre the name, Maria Colosa?
I think so. I we definitely follow each other. I've not had the pleasure of meeting her face-to-face yet. I presume it's pronounced Colosa. I'm sure she'll tell us in a minute anyway via Twitter, but we certainly have been following each other for a while. I would, if you're listening, Maria, I would love to come to Argentina. Feel free to invite me. I've been to Brazil, but not to Argentina yet. So please invite me, and I would love to meet you face to face.
So it's nice. There seems to be a few people online listening. So that was CroakIt, CROAKIT. Yep. That's another wee short, grab a bit of audio one.
You can only record for 30 seconds for that one, as opposed to iPadio, which is basically an hour. So it depends what you're trying to do. But I would say maybe at primary level in particular, those sorts of very short bits of audio is a nice idea. There's another app called Clip, which is CLYP.IT. I think it's the website Clip. And that's another way of creating a quick and easy piece of audio. SpeakPipe as well is another one, which I'm particularly interested in at the moment. So that's SPEAKPIPE, and with SpeakPipe it works on everything. So you can use the browser on an Android device, you can use the app on an iOS device, and on a Chromebook or a laptop or a PC you can just use the browser as well, but you need Flash. That's why you can't do it in the browser on an iPad, because you need the app. What I like about it is you can record your audio up to 5 minutes, which is quite generous, I think. It automatically goes up onto the SpeakPipe servers, and it's there for apparently 3 months, according to the information that you see when you publish. But you can get a direct download link as well. So I was thinking, if you want to do a quick and easy bit of audio, you get all the children to create SpeakPipes, get the links, and then share it with you via a Google form. If you didn't want each child to listen to each other's recordings, or you could use Padlet in the way that I've described already by posting the link onto the Padlet wall. You would then tap on the note, tap on the download link to then listen to the audio. But I think a Google form might be an easier way of doing it, depending on what you're trying to do.
Yes, sounds great. You mentioned there, I think, Android devices. I don't think there are very many other than personal devices in school, but they're sort of thing that people would use for sort of, you know, in a BYOD sort of environment. I wonder, have you seen any use of Chromebooks with audio?
I mean, I've done a couple of training sessions on Google Apps and Chromebooks, and the The Chrome apps I'd recommend are Twisted Wave, which is really nice just for creating a quick piece of audio, editing it and exporting it as MP3. But you can only edit the one track doing that. Mm. But the one I would recommend the most is called, well, actually there's two. There's one called Soundtrap, which is a bit like GarageBand that has loops and what have you that come with it. And that's Soundtrap, Soundtrap. But the one I particularly like is called Soundation. So it's Soundation, Soundation. It's really nice. The editing's really easy and straightforward. And it also has loops and that sort of thing that you can put in as well if you wanted to, or import from Google Drive, etc. And then you can export as WAV. You can't export as MP3 unless you pay, I think. But there are lots of online converters. There was one I found on the Chrome store, which I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but something simple like WAV to MP3 or something. Mm. And then you can convert to MP3 and save back to Google Drive. So Soundation is my top tip for Chromebooks, but Soundtrap and Twisted Wave are other options as well.
Great, yeah, because I was talking to some Google people in the last wee while, and it always seems a slight disadvantage in Chromebooks that they seem more geared up for sort of what people call productivity and what I think of as business as opposed to creativity. But it's nice mm-hmm. that they've got these apps that will do that. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, I agree. I think that iPads are particularly good for promoting creativity as well as productivity as well, but I think Chromebooks are particularly good at the whole collaboration piece, as it were. But there are some audio apps and video apps out there, but the range of creative apps that you get with iOS, you know, is far greater for sure, definitely. I was going to talk briefly, if it's okay, about Seesaw. I don't know if you've come across Seesaw, but I think it's a really cool way of sharing audio as well as other multimedia, and it works really nicely on the iPad. If you've maybe made a recording in, say, something like Ferrite Recording Studio or Voice Accord Pro 7, which I also really, really like. If people haven't heard of that one, it's amazing. It's only one track editing, but you can also just recently add sound effects and that sort of thing, like echo and reverb and that sort of thing. But what I really like about it is you can have the edit trim option, which means you can basically just top and tail recording, so remove a little bit from the beginning and a little bit at the end. But you can also go on to the advanced edit, which means you can cut out every single sort of and ah if you want to. But the edit trim option means that for those people that find audio editing a bit scary, they literally just have to move two sliders from the left to the right and the right to the left at the start and the beginning of the recording, start and the end of the recording, and that's a really nice way of editing. So with Seesaw, what you can do is you can using the open in function with the audio apps, you can record your audio, edit it if depending on what app you're using, and then open it in Seesaw and upload it to your private space in your classroom. So I really, really like that. You can't open Seesaw and record audio directly. You can record video directly and upload it, but you can't record audio directly. But to get around that, you have to use an app and then open it in Seesaw. And also, as the teacher, once the children have uploaded all their audio files, you can go to the teacher login on the web version, and you can you've got the download option. I think it's download direct link or something like that. I can't remember the exact terminology, but you tap on the download option, which again creates the link ending in .mp3. So if you turn that into a QR code, that's another way of making an audio QR code. But I really like the slick way in which Seesaw it can be used. And I know it's particularly popular amongst primary school teachers at the moment.
So, I mean, Seesaw, it's not one I've seen before, but it's a sort of Edmodo,
yep.
What's a Shobi type application, yep, for sharing and storing and handing in work, I guess.
It works on everything as well, mm. And you can even do things like make a screencast with the iOS version. So a bit like Explain Everything, you can do a drawing and record your audio over at the same time and capture the whole thing as a video clip, which is really nice because trying to find a free app that lets you do that. I mean, there was There was Show Me, which you could do that with, and you could download that. But then they didn't make they changed the rule so that for the free version you could only make your Show Me's public, and so that's why I stopped talking about that, because I know there would be lots of people that wouldn't want to have the default setting as public unless they paid. Obviously there's Explain Everything, but then that's not free. So Seesaw is the best way I found of making a quick and easy screencast, which again in languages is amazing for things like phonics and grammar and vocab and that sort of thing, and I love the way it's all private. I don't know how they do it for free, to be honest, because obviously that's they're paying for the web space, but it's amazing that it exists at the moment.
So that, I mean, that's something I would be interested in getting your opinion on. As you say, free things seem to be really attractive to educators and people in the class. Free apps and iPads and things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you've talked to developers, and they've got to make a living. And there seems to me to be a certain tension between what we want. We want these apps to be available. We would probably want them to be available for quite a long time. And I think what we're maybe seeing in some of these app stores is applications, people will make an application, but they can't maintain it, they can't keep it going, because they've got a living to make, and they'll head off and make another app, and that app will languish. You know, we've been talking about Audacity and GarageBand, which we've been using for 10 years. I wonder if any iOS apps are going to last that long, or you know how that's going to work.
I mean, a lot of developers, what they've done is they've created the core app, and then they've made like a premium version, or they've gone for the freemium model. I wonder if they're going to do that with Seesaw, because I think if they, in fact, I think you might have the premium version already with Seesaw. I think there are two versions, and there's some. I think that you have the capacity to store your content for a year, and then if you want to keep the same content without obviously downloading it all, then you have to pay. I think, but the fact you can have it for a whole year is fantastic. I just think it's wonderful, and it's certainly had a lot of praise from people.
On
Twitter. But yeah, it's, I mean, Showbee also I really like for audio, the way that you can give audio feedback with Showbee. I mean, you can with Google Classroom as well. You can use something like Voice Record Pro 7, record the audio, put it up into Google Classroom, use it as feedback. But with Showbee as well, you have the recording option inbuilt within the app, so that's also really nice as well. I've got a few more little apps I wanted to mention about audio, if that's okay, John. If I can,
yeah, just keep piling them in, Joe.
Okay.
I hope you've written them down, because
of course I've made a list, of course, because there's so much I want to talk about. But anyway, so. In relation to another app which is very simple and easy and particularly popular with primary school children, is an app called Keezy, which is K-E-E-Z-Y. And it's a bit like Bostock Junior in the sense that you have different carts. You have six or eight carts, I can't remember. I think it's eight carts on your interface. And you literally just hold your finger down on one of the carts and record your audio. And then if you tap on it, it will then play. And if you hold your finger down on it, once you've recorded it, it will loop. I think that's the correct finger movement. Anyway, so you can record eight different tracks, but if you were to play two tracks together while recording with the other one, then you can make like a compilation, as it were. So you can record a few different tracks and then layer them together, a bit like Bostock Jr., but very, 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 very quick and easy. And just recently, they've added the recording export option, so you can record your beat, as it were, or your tune, and then you can export the whole thing as a WAV file, I think it is. So once you've exported it as a WAV file, it's either open in or export via email. I think it's via email. You can then hold your finger down on the attachment once you've sent it to yourself, and then use the open-in function and bring it into Bostock Junior if you wanted to. But just as a quick way of recording audio with different carts, Keezy is great. And there's some nice YouTube clips on how to use it as well, like but from Keezy themselves. And again, in the languages context, what you could do is you could have different lines of a dialogue that you then record in the correct order, as it were, But again, I like the way that you can record and then just keep listening back to it, and then export the whole thing as one file. So that's Keezy is another really nice one. And then when I was talking about BossTrot Junior earlier, when I've done training on it, I've also used other apps in conjunction with BossTrot Junior. If you wanted to make that sort of open-ended creative output even more open-ended, you could use an app called Launchpad, which Mark Anderson introduced me to, ICT Evangelist, at the BET show, not last year, but the year before. And he's got a video clip of a tutorial on how to use that on his website. But Launchpad, so Launchpad, is quite a large app. It's quite a few hundred megabytes, but it has lots of samples that you can use, all of which are attached to different boards according to the beats per minute for that board. And so by using Launchpad, you can record a backing track to go with your podcast, or you've got quite a few different sound effects that you could use as jingles, which is what I've actually done. I've recorded them on Launchpad, exported them either via email or via Dropbox, and then import them from there into BossTrot Junior. So that's another really nice tip. And then there's a free app called Voice Changer Plus, which is great. So VOICE CHANGER PLUS, Voice Changer Plus, which allows you to record your voice and then add different effects onto it, such as, you know, a Dalek or Darth Vader and that sort of thing. And then you can export that as either as a WAV file, or there's a free app called My MP3, which I came across, which allows you to rip the audio from any video clip from your camera roll, which is quite nice. So you're quite limited on what you can do with the free version, even exporting as video, but there are some sounds you can produce as a video. But if you pay, I think it's $2.29 or something, then that allows you to export as WAV or as a video and then rip it using my MP3. So once you've done that, you can then put that into BossTrot Junior. So for things like creating jingles, or you're listening to Radio FM or whatever, you could do that in a really nice way using Voice Changer Plus, and then put it from there into BossTrot Junior, and then layer that with some other audio. So if you really wanted to go to town with this, and I appreciate that's not for everyone and that would be more advanced or it would take longer, but if you wanted to go to town with it, you could use these extra sorts of apps to add a new layer to your audio production, I think.
And I certainly think that the sort of project approach to audio is quite useful, because there's so much that's involved, you know, the planning, the writing, yep, the talking, the listening around, the whole thing. It's a very sort of low cost, low tech option for involving technology, because if you're doing a recording, one device can do an awful lot of kids, because they can take turns, they can take different roles. So I certainly think that audio is a really fantastic thing to do.
And that's the great thing, isn't it? They could all record on their different devices and then put them up into a central space, and then one person could maybe import all of those into BossTrot Junior and then layer them all together. That's what I like about it. So it's so versatile.
Over time, you know, so over time you can all add bits on the one device, because there still are schools out there, Our one iPad classes, or one computer classes.
And that would work in the same way. So you could get all the children to record in Audacity, upload to Google Drive, and then layer it all together in BossTrot Junior with the one iPad in the classroom. Absolutely, yeah. That's great.
Lots of interesting things. I think, Joe, we've run a good hour.
Could I just mention two
last little points? Yeah, just keep going.
Is that okay?
So
the last app I'd recommend, this is the last one, honestly, folks, the last app I'd recommend, which I've not tried myself personally, but it looks really nice from the point of view of recording like a Skype conversation or that sort of, in fact, no, there's two actually. There's this one called Ringer, which is R-I-N-G-R, Ringer, which allows you to record two sides of a conversation over Wi-Fi, if you're not in the same room, as it were. So Ringer is, I've heard by the guys from BossTrot Junior, Dave Mansueto, it's really nice. You can record both sides, and then one of the sides will then be basically, I think it's emailed to you or sent to you, so you can then mix it together. And then, so if you wanted to have this sort of remote interview, so maybe if you're involved in e-twinning or something like that, you could use Ringer to connect with your partner's school, record a little bit of audio as a conversation, as a real conversation, which obviously what language is all about, real communication, record it, and then input it into Bostock Junior, what have you. And the last thing I was going to say is there's an article by Jonathan Wiley, so that's Jonathan, obviously, and then W-Y-L-I-E, and he's written a blog post quite recently talking about his five top tools for podcasting on iOS, all of which I've mentioned tonight. And he mentions Wes Fryer quite a lot about the fact that Wes introduced him to these sorts of tools. And I think, to be honest, I introduced Wes to a lot of these tools. But anyway, things like VoiceAccord Pro, BossJock, Opinion, etc. So I definitely would include that link within the show notes, because it's a nice summary of some of the best apps that are out there at the moment for iOS. Oh, and Spreaker as well. I'd recommend Spreaker, Spreaker, as another way of recording audio if you want to. But more importantly, if you're looking for that option on hosting audio, because you can host up to whatever it is, 10, I'm not sure, an hour or something of audio, or 10 hours of audio on the Spreaker website. You get a certain amount of Spreaker space. So you can, again, record your audio in something else and then open it in Spreaker Studio, the app Spreaker Studio, and then upload it onto the Spreaker servers. So if people are looking for other ways of hosting audio for free, I would recommend Opinion or Spreaker Studio.
Okay, and just to round things up, and because we're in Scotland, Joe, I would recommend a Glow WordPress blog, which you can upload audio to from an iOS device, easy enough, and it'll host a podcast for free. You start off with 1 gigabyte of space, but you can just keep on asking for more if you happen to increase that.
That's wonderful. And I noticed quite recently as well, that with Google Drive now on iOS, as well as on the web, that finally, when you play audio, it plays in the app. Whereas in the past, you would have to open it with something else, such as VoiceAccord Pro. But finally, you can play audio natively within the app, which is really nice. So again, for a situation whereby all the children are recording their bits of audio and putting them up into the same shared folder, let's say in Google Drive, you can now listen to the audio directly and then share it if you want to in the ways I talked about already. But that's another big thing with Google Drive, those people that use that as well.
That's great, Joe. And you mentioned your job as consultant, you do training and stuff like that. If people mm-hmm. want to get in touch with you, they would hit Twitter.
Twitter or my email address, which I'm more than happy for you to share on the blog post as well. But I think Twitter is probably the best way. I do have a blog, but I've not updated it for 2.5 years or something. So if people want to find out what I was doing in the past, feel free to have a look at the blog. But I just haven't had time, or I've been spending my time getting work and doing the work rather than reflecting on it or writing my blog. So don't get me wrong, I used to love blogging and everything, but I still take part in webinars and this sort of podcast interview, etc. But I haven't really got the time to spend, you know, a day or half a day writing a long blog post, unfortunately, even though I really enjoy doing it.
So maybe your YouTube channel is a better place to catch up.
Yeah, YouTube channel, my Twitter account or email is fine.
Right, so that's brilliant. Thanks very much, Joe. And just before I sort of round up, just mention anybody listening, if you're interested in producing audio and you're interested in talking about education, you can contribute to Radio EduTalk. You can do what Joe's done. If you want to come on and have a chat on a Wednesday with myself or Tuesday with David, just get in touch. If you want to just produce some audio and send it, you can use Audio Boom and tag it EduTalk, and it'll automatically flow onto the EduTalk site. Or you can just email us at audio@edutalk.cc. Any kind of audio file at all, and we will host it, stick it up, as long as you're talking about education. And on a real outsider, if anybody is ever interested in taking up a space, either with pupils or themselves, on the EduTalk site broadcasting, feel free to get in touch, because we're quite happy for that to happen too. So, great overflowing, I think, of iOS audio, Joe, tonight. pretty amazing. And there's quite a few people saying, gulp, we need this information. So we'll get it all up, put together over the next couple of days on the EduTalk site. I just say a huge thank you again. You've been just schooled me on iOS audio one more time. Lots of stuff I hadn't heard of, lots of things to think about. So pleasure talking to you, Joe. Thanks very much.
Pleasure talking to you as well, John. Thanks ever so much as well.
Okay, I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now, folks. Well, hopefully listen, speak to you later. Thanks for listening. Cheers.